All right, we are back one more time at the NCI Summit, 2025 Summit in Texas here. I am Adam with NCI and Eric Palmer. I am joined with the High Performance HVAC Podcast. And today we are lucky enough to interview and sit down with Anthony Wu. Anthony is pretty new to NCI. And he has been just making waves. Like, you know, a lot of people, you know, they take one sip at a time, and Anthony's like drinking from a fire hose. He's going at it. So we wanted to chat with Anthony and get his story. How you doing, Anthony?
Awesome. And thank you guys for inviting me. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be here. NCI has definitely changed the way we view things and the way we do things in our business. So I was excited to be here this year, and this year I brought my business partner to show him where all my craziness came from. Yes, and I would love to share, you know, what we've done and how we've done it with any newcomers that are debating or hesitant on drinking the Kool-Aid.
Nice. So, how did this all start for you? Like, what was the beginning? How did you make that first step where you wanted to make a change?
So, honest, full disclaimer, I did not even know what NCI was when I went to the summit last year. I have been trying to add additional value to my company by introducing IAQ. And when you start looking up IAQ trainers, who's the guy that shows up? Mr. Ellis. I looked him up. I tried to get him into Quebec, Canada for months prior, even a year, at least a year. I spoke to him. He's like, oh, go through Daikin, go through Goodman. I'm a certified trainer. I went to my distributor. They're like, nope, he doesn't speak French. We cannot bring him in because he can't teach anybody. All right, can you ask him if Ontario side wants it? And I'll drive my team to Ontario. All right, call Ontario. Yeah, you need to bring 8 contractors over for us to hire him. All right, nobody's interested. So that fell through. Told John, he's like, well, nothing we can do now. But I am going to be doing a panel at this High Performance Summit in North Carolina. Done. Went there, bought my tickets. Didn't even know what it was. He's talking, and that's where I wanted to go see if I go pick his brain and see what we can do to get started. And sure enough, from there, it was like a whole new world. From the welcoming people from the community, the HR community that attends this event was phenomenal. I was that guy with the red badge. I was embarrassed to be wearing that first-timer badge. I didn't want to be that guy. So I did not wear it, but going through the experience and understanding what that red badge means now is for the members to identify and help you out. And that is what I saw after the fact. And this year, when I saw the guys that were, someone came up to me, he's like, oh, I don't want to wear the red badge of shame. I'm like, no, that is to help the members identify and help you. That is what these guys are here to do. That is the experience I got. I was fortunate. I sat at an empty seat and met Dawn from GVs. She's been phenomenal. From day one, she's always helped me out. She introduced me to a bunch of people, made me felt very welcome. Nothing was intimidating. She has a similar market to me. I've done training in the States, but because of the difference in market, it was very hard to get my solutions. Meeting Dawn was one of those things that really kept us here and helped us out. So that was our beginning with NCI. We didn't know what it was, but now we are full in.
So what were things like for you as a contractor before being introduced to NCI? What was kind of the status quo for you? What kind of things were you involved with?
Might be a little embarrassing, but we were just glorious box changers like many others. But I've always wanted to do better. The thing is, in our market, the standards are just too low. We were at the top of those standards and thinking that we were already the best at what we do. Until I walked through these doors at NCI and realized I'm nowhere close to being where we need to be. And that is why I've always loved training. I just didn't have the resources to have, because this stuff was not offered in our area. I didn't know about it. But being there and learning about it, you just can't unsee it. You can't unknow it. So from there, it was like, all right, I need to, where can I get these classes? When can I do it? How do I do it? What do I need? And that is what propelled us to do it. We within the year, we've taken pretty much every NCI residential certification. We've been all over the States in the last year, and now we're here. And it's just been phenomenal to see my guys. My business partner thought I was a little crazy when I came back and said, hey, I need this budget. I need to get these tools and we need to send our guys to these classes. Okay. And, you know, he went with it and now he's there at this conference with us today just to see what I saw when I came here.
So how is he liking it? Like, is the summit this year having the same impact on him as it did on you last year?
That is to be determined. He's a quiet one. He's the muscle behind the operation. He's 50% of the business, but he handles all the installs. But I give him the tools. Hey, we have to start commissioning. This is what we need to do. He accepted. He didn't give me any pushback. He didn't resist the cost. It was, all right, let's make this happen. And we'll see. When I get back, we'll have a chat. But I asked him, like, is this something you would want to do next year? He's like, yeah, I definitely would want to come back. So I don't know if he's as excited as I am. I'm more the visionary and seeing where we want to propel to. He is there to see how we have to deploy it. He's the implementer.
So when you initially started to implement some of these things with these tools, you know, like the field piece, wireless probes and, you know, TEC TrueFlow grid and things like that, were there any challenges initially with implementing that? All those tools and processes, how was it a rough process getting going? What kind of challenges did you encounter?
My biggest challenge would be getting the tools. The field piece was easy. That's already distributed, but the specialty tools like the TrueFlow grid, the capture hood, those I couldn't get in our market. I had to have TrueTech tools ship it to the States, to New York. I went to Freeport to go pick them up and drive them back into Canada, where I had quite an adventure there. But once I got them across the border, it was easy to deploy. It was easy to take the readings. Our challenge was more understanding the readings. All right, now I got these. What does it mean? When everything's green, good. But now I got a red. All right, let me message Don. Let me message an NCI guy. Let me message Casey. And, you know, I'm not used to getting this kind of help when in my marketplace because no one's doing it. So there was even in our market, everybody competes. Everyone sees everybody as a competition, not a collaborator. And when I joined NCI, I noticed that collaboration is a big thing. Collaboration happens at the top, competition happens at the bottom. And having that help was whenever I had those readings early in the days and not understanding it, I did not feel defeated. I shot out 5-6 messages. 5-6 messages came back to me. And it's like, hey, this means this. This is what you should look at. Excellent. Let me put out my proposal. Now I'm going to do a follow-up visit. Because when I wasn't sure, I was selling it as just, we're coming in to test and now build your proposal. So during my proposal phase is when I would start calling everybody. It's like, hey, okay, I got this reading. What can I propose as a reno? And that was where our first challenges were. But besides that, my team adapted it very well and they deployed it. So everybody's bringing the readings back to me and then I'm kind of sending the readings out to the NCI family and getting input. And now we've been a year in and we're doing most of it, not needing to reach out to, not having to bother too many people nowadays.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I wanted to just go back on something you just said, because that was like that was profound, I think. Like, and I've never really, I almost feel ashamed for not thinking that and having that in my head. But you said collaboration happens at the top and competition happens at the bottom. And I think that's a super powerful statement, because that is very true. And you could see that here, you know, at this type of conference. So,
yep, absolutely. If I could just interject real quick, they can edit this out, but I think you're a little far away from the mic sometimes when you turn your head. So just try to like pivot like this if when you're talking. Just got try it. To. Sorry about that.
I'm curious to see and hear, I guess not see, but can you take us through some of your journey? And meaning, like, let's talk about some of the early jobs. And, like, do you have any specific jobs that stand out to you in your journey?
Absolutely. Well, you never forget your first, right? I was called in to check a furnace that kept tripping in high limits, and contractor's been there twice. ECM failed twice in 3 years. After the second time, the homeowner decided, even if it's under warranty, I need to pay someone to come have a look. It was our duct cleaner that went to do duct, but the other guy said, oh, your ducts are too dirty, it's blocking this, blocking that, and that's why your limits are tripping. And my duct cleaner went, said, everything is good, it's clean, there wasn't much stuff in it. So he gave him my number, and we went to go check. First thing he did was deploy the TrueFlow, took the static pressure. For one, static pressure was way crazy on the return side. It was hitting like 1.67. And my airflow was like sub 300 CFM or something like that. But it was blowing. But it just wasn't blowing enough. The technician has gone. It's blowing. The good old handometer. It works. So they were trying to blame something else. I confirmed the motor was high-speed tap, was good. Nothing more to do. It proposed, you know what? It's still under warranty. We'll change the motor again. And now let's see what we can do about reducing that return static. And that's where I was telling you in the early days, hey, I messaged Don, I messaged Casey. Like, I messaged like five people. I don't remember who they were, but Don was one of the first that had messaged me back. And she was like, oh, it looks like your return is too small. Look up. I have a 20-inch wide return, but it comes at 8x10 into the side of the furnace where it's only using like just a bit over half of the furnace of the side of the furnace. So she's like, oh, blow it up, cut the hole bigger and make it a 20x20 or whatever was needed. So, all right, let me quote that, propose it, and boom, did the job, went to test out, got everything back into the greens. Airflow was good, put in the new motor, put in a bigger return drop, bigger filter rack, opened up the side of the furnace, maximized the return airflow, and we got it back down to, I think, the 0.55. Was slightly high, but a lot better than 1.67. And having the TEC report and visually showing the client was what I saw when the client was like, wow. And that's what really got me excited. It's like, wow, this stuff works. It's like, I just did my first and saw how the client understood immediately with those graphs and how easy it is to explain with the clipboard that we got during our duct optimization course with the blood pressures on them. And they're like, oh, look, you see this red 1.6, and look where you are, hypertension 3. Mm-hmm. Oh, older clients definitely know every checkup. Hey, what did the first thing doctor does to you? Do they strap you up, check your blood pressure? And that's how I've been using the analogy from right straight out of the course. And it works.
System vitals. That's the first thing. Blood pressure, your weight, right? That's what the doctors check. And
absolutely.
So,
and it like, today, these 2 days, I've been hearing a lot of using analogies. The panels just talked about it. The Tom Hearn just talked about it. And it's definitely very important to learn how to use those analogies to help the homeowners understand what we are talking about. And I think just because of that alone makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So, being able to have a discussion with the customer and be able to relate to them and non-technical speak, that's pretty important, right? Because you don't want to lose them. You want to give them, you know, like you said, analogies that they can understand, right?
Absolutely. And my goal has always been, my approach to everything I do, my social media, the way I approach my homeowners, it's always homeowner facing. I'm not doing social media to teach the technician. There's a lot of people with more experience than I do. I'm finding ways to communicate with my community, my market. That is where it all started. But little did I know, by doing that and attending these events, there's a lot more people that are watching me than I know. And that's where it's been, it's becoming a very interesting and evolution in our journey. I did not even want to be on social media. It's my social media manager that said, hey, you have to put your face out there. You have to connect with your homeowners. And I didn't know what to talk about. You know what? I just learned this. Let me talk to them about this. And then eventually all my content is coming from the NCI courses I've learned, the people I've met, frequently asked questions. And that's how I've been building our content. It's really geared towards the homeowners.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, I've been involved with Anthony. We have a coaching call that we've been doing throughout the year, and it just ended recently. I think we're going to do it again this year with different people from Summit as well too. But you know, just hearing how you and Dawn, you know, communicate in that, it really sounds like she kind of took you under her wing and she's kind of been helping mentor you along the way. I don't know to what extent, but with your social media, it almost sounds like you're kind of at that point where you're like ready or you're actually starting to, you know, help some contractors that are just at the beginning path. You know, they're just starting this journey.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those things. Once again, when I came to NCI last year, I didn't know anything about it and I had no mentors because the bar is really low. There's nobody doing what NCI does in our market. So I never had a mentor. But when I showed to this event, ended up with a room full of mentors. Everybody was willing to help. It just happened Dawn is in our market. She understands what I need. And that's why we connected a lot quicker. And it's like, hey, you've done this. I've seen this. What do you do? And she was like, right off the bat was telling me, oh, we got this solution, this and this and this. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And, you know, I kept connected. And the first couple months, I did message her pretty frequent just to say, hey, how do you interpret this reading? Or remember that cold basement you're telling me about that you had? What did you do? Oh, yeah, I'd throw it in a return, get a bit more return in the basement. Did that, like, hey, solution worked. And then after a couple of months, I started getting more confident and understanding my readings. But she was definitely instrumental in helping us get started into the path of high performance. And then back to joining that path of high performance meetups, that was something else that helped kept me accountable for the things we do and helped with the struggles that we had. It wasn't only about the technical stuff, but I faced some business struggles through this last year with the growth and dealing with certain situations. But within that pod or that group, there was definitely people with business experience that runs business a lot longer than I have and gave me tips and tricks of like, oh, this is how you should handle this situation or check out this or read this book. I'm like, absolutely. And that is why joining this group, I never felt like I hit any walls, or at least it didn't, nothing that was able to defeat me. If I hit a wall, there's somebody that was there to drop a ladder for me. That is how I felt joining this path to high performance. I didn't even realize it was a first year thing. I thought you guys had been doing this for a long time. It's like you guys, it was very structured, even though I wasn't keeping up with everybody, but the way they make you feel is everybody takes their own time, has their own path. I'm updating on, because I'm just starting my path to high performance. So once we're like three or four courses in, it was like really ahead of where I'm at, but nobody said anything. They're still there to welcome me and help me with where I'm at. So I just shared the struggles I'm at the time and they helped me build where I'm at. There's no pressure in saying, hey, you should be here, or I'm not competing against any of these guys, or hey, we're $1 million company, we don't need to help someone. It was never anything like that. There was never any judgment. It was just a lot of help and a lot of motivation. And that is why part of why I believe within a year we were able to get to where we are today is really with the help of the mentorship, the family that the community of HVAC professionals that we got to connect with over here at the highest level.
So something you've alluded to is the business side of HVAC. Now we talk a lot about, you know, getting the test instruments and test in and test out, you know, get your static, get your airflow, all that kind of stuff. But as far as implementing the testing in your business, can you tell us a little bit about maybe some challenges on the business side of things, on the process and some of the things that you've overcome there in the last year?
I think in terms of process, it was pretty smooth. We didn't hit much challenges. It was really interpreting the data. I mean, with the modern tools, they've made it very easy to harvest the data. I just had to make sure my guys measured at the right places. We take pictures. I interpret the data initially just to make sure I understand it. If I didn't, I had help. And then I trickled that down to my team. And now we're a year in. Everybody's already, every service truck is rolling with the TrueFlow grid. We're using the job links. We're just getting ready this winter now to roll it into Measure Quick, because I was just throwing so much things on my business and having my guys trying to keep up. I took the Measure Quick course back in March, loved it, and I see there's a place for it in our company, but I haven't had the time to deploy because we are just still, all right, let's get all our measurements done, and now we're going to tie everything up with Measure Quick. We'll be putting that stone in place over this winter.
So I have a question for you. I know, you know, a lot of people, they, especially by me, you know, contractors in the Chicagoland area, it's hard to fill classes. They feel like they've been doing it for a certain amount of time and they don't see the value in spending money on more advanced training. I know, you know, you've taken a lot between Measure Quick and all the NCI courses, you know, it's a big investment that you've made in your guys and in your company. And that's just the education side, not even bringing up, like, you know, now you have the tool side of it too, where you're investing in all these different tools. I just was wondering if you could say a little bit to the people out there who said, you know, well, maybe they're thinking their guys in their company, what they know is good enough. And they don't see the value in spending the money and further in their education.
Absolutely. And I think that came down to mindset. I always have believed in the abundance mindset. There's always enough work for everybody. It's how you want to get it and what you want to do. The money will come. Yes, it's an investment. But like anything you do in life, you have to invest something into it. Whether it's your time, whether it's money, there is going to be some sort of commitment you're going to have to do. I may have been a little extreme and I want things done. And that's the way I am. It's, I know what I want and I'm a go-getter. I did not hesitate and I'm reaping the benefits sooner. But regardless, with everything we learn and putting in this investment, you're going to be getting yourself new skill set that nobody else can do. You're going to be in a different market. You're going to be in a place where you're not competing. Right now, if you're thinking that what you do is good enough, you're just going to be competing at the bottom. And that's going to be the real struggle. If you want to look in at the bigger picture, long-term investment, building something, lose a little bit now, but what are you going to get in return? That is how you invest, putting money in investment. You put a little bit now, you look at the compounded interest. I saw a video by Dirk Nauman about compounded knowledge. And that was it was beautiful. I showed that to my team right away, was how in the early days, you know, 60% of the knowledge we had today was able to get you through like 90% of the jobs back in the day. But with the advancement of technology of HVAC, if you're not keeping up, the learning curve is so much higher and so much quicker. And that is where you have to put in that investment. So it's the same thing as money. You're going to put a little bit of money away now so that you compound that interest. Knowledge is the exact same thing. We are putting in that investment now so that we're going to compound that effect later on. When people finally realize, oh, that was a great investment, I've already made my money or made my knowledge. And that is where I'm going to be in the industry, because already even within the Better HVAC Alliance, I'm the only registered HVAC professional in Quebec. I'm the only one with the TrueFlow grades, but nobody sells it. So that is where I saw I had a big advantage, just being the first on it. I don't know what other people's markets are like, but just get started.
So what is the feedback that you're getting from your customers? Are you seeing a lot of referrals from some of the work that you're doing, more so than you had before in the past?
It's interesting because we've been doing so much, I don't know where everything's coming from. From the business perspective, I'm terrible at tracking KPIs because we're a very young business. We technician turn owner. I just know how to do my job good or do my job well and keep growing the technical side. On the business side, these are things I'm working on, trying to track the KPIs, where our leads is coming from. But we had no website. We have no label trucks. We don't do marketing. It's really just word of mouth. And what I did notice this year is our distributors are giving out our names to solve for issues with warranty claims that are repetitive. Like motors are going out 2 or 3. Now we got Goodman messaging us like, hey, we got this case. Do you mind giving us a second opinion type thing? So that is the kind of referral I'm seeing now, is more specialized. But the day-to-day installs and stuff, I don't know if where I'm making a difference or if it's my social media because I'm just blurting out this stuff. But whenever I do take out my true flow grid and explain the static pressure, the response is almost always, how come those guys never did it? It's just our industry and I just tell them it's not because they're not doing a good job. It's people don't know what they don't know. I go out of my way to get this training so I can offer these services. That is how I sell. I'm selling my services, I'm not selling that piece of equipment. I'm here to sell you a service. And when they can see my service really stands up from the next guy, that is where we make our sales.
That's awesome. That's got to be a great feeling when a manufacturer starts referring you over to people. You know what I mean? Because that you're standing out in the crowd, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And at first it was like, wow, it's cool, excited. And then when I told that to Dave Richardson in our Path to High Performance group, he's like, you also have to be careful with that. How you tell the clients without stepping on too many toes is... That was tricky. It really got me thinking. It's like, all right, we have to do it, but we do it at a professional level. You know, it's how can we better the industry? It's not about, hey, that guy suck. It's, you know, it's our industry that is not elevating the standards. You know, maybe our distributors have to set trainings on ECMs. Hey, you have to take static pressures. So my technical trainer from Goodman took one of your airflow classes online. Because I've been talking about this stuff and he was excited. He's like, wow, now I get what you're talking about. He knew static pressure, but he knows that all the guys he trained, nobody talks about static pressure. Our company was the only company that he's ever dealt with that knew what to look for. It's like, hey, we know how to read the fan curves on charts. We know how to measure airflow. And it was like, how do you guys do that? I'm like, oh, we were with NCI. And he actually asked if he can communicate with NCI to bring these courses up to Canada.
Wow.
So I think that's awesome. An impact that we're having.
Very cool. Yeah. That's a great compliment when a trainer, you know, a guy from the manufacturer is recognizing, you know, your skill set and acknowledging that.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this past year, it's definitely been a lot of validation, and that's part of what kept us going and understanding is, hey, what we put in is what we're getting out of it. I've always told everybody, what you put into this trade is what you're going to get out of it. I put in blood and sweat to get to where we are today. And in this past year, we've seen the results immediately. It wasn't like, all right, let me take this course and drag it over a year and then figure out, is it doing anything? We just did it all and, you know, ripped the Band-Aid off and let's just get it done. And already it feels like showing up at this event felt very different because I'm no longer that newcomer. People are coming up to me as if I've been doing this for years, but I don't even know these people. But they're like, oh, I've been following social media, and the effect of the social media also, it's something I still don't understand. I'm no influencer. It's just, like I said, I did it for homeowners. And being here this year and helping the new guys, that's another rewarding feeling in its own.
That's awesome. Where do you see yourself a year from now? So you've overcome so many different hurdles and you've made all these different implemented all these different things in your company, but what's next?
Next is building the business. I'm building up the skills, I'm building up the labor force, and now it's where I've decided we're at 10 people in our company now is where I want to pump the brakes a little bit. And really focus on sharpening everybody's skills and then building out the system so that when I onboard, I have a way of onboarding, not just, all right, get in truck, here's a uniform, let's go. You know, there's going to be, all right, these are the trainings we're going to have to do over the first year of employment. This is what we're going to have to do with you. This is your tool bag. I don't have any of that stuff. I don't know how to track KPI. So that is where I'm at. Once again, I'm a first generation. I built this company from nothing. We're only four years into my business. So I still have a lot of development to do. But on the technical side, I want to spearhead the technical advancement and making sure what can set us apart, keep the cash flow going. And now we can slow down and really focus on building the business.
I think what both of you have alluded to is kind of establishing a culture of training which it seems like a lot of the what we call the box swappers out there, you know, they don't really see the value in training, but it's great to see that you do see the value in training and not just, you know, oh, I attended a class and I'm good to go now, but it's actually, hey, no, this is our part of our company's culture. We're going to, you know, train on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, and that comes from, I think, I don't know if it's a mentality or it's just something I do, is I love learning from other people's mistakes. I've worked for contractors that never provided any training, and that's why I never knew better. And when I did, hey, that's not a mistake I want to make. Same thing with just listening to Tom Hearn about him just sending out his guys and not attending the training. So he doesn't know what his guys are learning, and he's still conflicting with what his guys are learning. But so I'm like, oh, I've done that right. I've attended every class, no matter where I send my guys. I've taken every NCI class myself. So I know what they are responsible for, what they are supposed to know. So there's no excuses. So it's also cool to see validation, hearing from other people's experience that, oh, I got that part done right. But for me, it was more an excuse to go visit another city.
Yeah, not a bad perk, especially, you know, you'd probably appreciate if we, you know, if not just an NCI, but if there's more trainings available near you. But it's not a bad thing to have to visit different areas of the United States and, you know, travel around a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. At the smaller scale right now where we are, you know what, we'll enjoy it. We'll spend the money. But as the company grows, it's going to maybe come deal with where I'm going to start bringing trainers to us at some point. But right now, you know, we're sub 10. It's easy to get a few guys out there, let everybody enjoy. We have half the guys going to HR. We have half the guys going to symposium. I let them pick. So it's, you know, it's part of the value we want to provide to our team.
And you're finding ways to engage them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When we do these trips, we pay for everything. We do a team activity. We cover all the meals, their flights. It's a little vacation. Get away from work. Enjoy. Have fun. We're out here. We're not just in class every day. It's like, all right, evening, we got a bit of time. Let's go do something. What do you want to see? I let everybody pick an activity. It's like, hey, we're going to this city. Tell me what you guys want to do. We'll try to get it done within whatever time we have.
Awesome. Well, Anthony, it's been great talking to you, and you know, I love hearing your journey. I'm hoping that you're going to be on the coaching call if we get it going, you know, started back up pretty quick again, because you participate more than probably anybody. You're like, we ask a question like, hey, what's everyone, what have you run into this week? And Anthony's always the first to be like, listen, this is my thing, blah, blah, blah. But you're taking so much from it. You know, people usually take baby steps, and you're just sprinting. So it's been incredible to watch your journey.
Thank you. And I'm absolutely going to join back up. There was actually someone asking me about how to get involved with that. They saw us go up on stage last night and asked what that was and wants to get involved. So I told her just to go talk to Dave, right?
Yeah, Dave, it's fine.
Get an email afterwards type thing. But
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just you have to commit to whatever you do. That's my mentality.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you guys for having us, and thank you for hosting this event.
Thank you.